News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR.
Well, US President Donald Trump has said that the big wave of the US attack on Iran is yet to come. And Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has refused to give a time frame as to how long the assault on Iran may continue. Meanwhile, the Straits of Hormuz, as you heard from Joe, there are effectively shut down to shipping, which means spikes in both oil and liquid natural gas prices. And there's been impact and missile attacks on refineries as well as on bases, US bases in Iraq and in Bahrain. With us is Borzu Daragahi, who is Middle East journalist and analyst. Borzu, before we get to where the situation on the ground has developed to overnight, we've heard a little bit from Donald Trump justifying the reasoning behind the decision to assault Iran, describing it as the last best chance to stop the country's regime and characterizing it as a defensive attack. Can we read any actual fact into any of that as to what the motivation was for the attack?
The short answer is no, there's no factual basis in that. As Marco Rubio said, the concern was that Israel was going to attack Iran, and if the U.S. didn't preemptively or preventatively attack Iran along with Israel, its bases would come under attack as well. I mean, that just sounds ridiculous. Israel is a client state of the United States. Instead of using its leverage and the funding that the United States gives to Israel to talk Israel down from this war that it has wanted for 30 years, it went along with the war and contributed to the Israeli belligerence.
And the Israeli justification is the same as it ever was. The usual thing from Benjamin Netanyahu that Iran was mere days from or weeks from a nuclear weapon, as he has been saying for literally decades.
U.S. Congresswoman Sarah Jacobs, who has family in Israel, was saying yesterday that Netanyahu has been trying to sell this war to American presidents for 30 years. Trump was just the one that was dumb enough to go along with it.
Well, it's interesting the way that the New York Times is characterizing it, because they are saying that their analysis piece saying, in plunging into a Mideast conflict, Trump gambles his presidency. His MO as president was not engaging in foreign wars, quotes, no more forever wars. Is he taking a huge gamble in this?
I think it is a huge gamble. It's even more than that. It already seems to have gone beyond the U.S. strategic assessments for the conflict. I think they were hoping that they would kill the supreme leader, and then there would be some lull, and in that lull, they would make a deal, just as in Venezuela. Instead, as many had predicted, as many who know the region and know the religion had predicted, you kill a spiritual leader for millions of people around the region, you're going to spark even more anger, and you're going to fuse the regime to the people who were discontented with it, as well as inspire people who are loyal to the supreme leader in other countries to rise up. This is not going well, and it's more than a gamble at this point. It's already gone pretty much off the rails.
Can you explain one bit in this, Borzu, that I still haven't quite grasped, which is, what is the advantage of martyring a man who is 86 years of age and already diagnosed with cancer? Time itself, I would have thought, would solve their problem anyway.
I don't understand it either. I think it's just, you have these, I don't know how to describe them, macho men in the Pentagon, and they view tactical successes and targeting successes as these great accomplishments, whereas they don't look in the long term. Ali Khamenei was a mediocre leader who made so many mistakes. He would have died as a very poor leader had he not been given a hero's death, a warrior's death by the U.S. and Israel.
Can you bring us up to speed then on what has happened overnight? Because we hear reports that the U.S. is intending to send more troops. There have been drone strikes on the U.S. embassy in Saudi Arabia. There's new fighting in Lebanon, and there have been strikes on oil refineries and further impact in the Straits of Hormuz.
Exactly. There's been more attacks on Israel, more attacks overnight on Tel Aviv. The Israeli media is very tightly controlled, so we don't know exactly what was hit. There have been more attacks in Tehran. The Iranian media is very tightly controlled. So we get very, you know, curated, while the Israeli media suppresses information about damage. The Iranian media plays up footage of civilian casualties and so on, and does not also allow footage of strategic damage. So it's hard to assess from open sources what has been hit and what is going on between those two countries. There were more attacks in the Gulf, including a drone attack on the U.S. embassy in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia, as well as airstrikes on the U.S. Fifth Fleet base in Bahrain, where the Navy, the U.S. Navy, keeps a significant number of assets.
Borzu, thank you very much for your time this morning. That's Borzu Derrigahi, Middle East journalist and analyst, and a significant impact on the UK. Donald Trump saying that he was very disappointed with the Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer, in not providing initial support to the assault on Iran. Keir Starmer saying that they will not join further significant action against Iran. Meanwhile, of course, we saw that UK bases had been hit, and there are several hundred thousand UK citizens now registering with their foreign affairs missions, the single largest consular effort apparently in British history. We'll have more analysis on that, as well as what is happening with our own nearly 20,000 citizens who find themselves stuck in the region a little bit later in the programme. 53106, if you want to get in touch, or 087 1400 106.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.